eternity.
Doc stopped when he caught Ryan's glance. It was a worry that the old man's mind still sometimes slipped a couple of notches, though he was better than when Ryan, Christie, and JB had first met him. Then it had been 10 parts madness to a smattering of sanity. The scientists who'd established matter transmitting had also dabbled in temporal transfer, time jumps. In years of ultra-secret experiments, there had only been one successful trawling of a live human being from the past, and a lot of hideously pulped abortions of failure. The one success, nearly, had been Doc Tanner, picked out of November 1896, where he'd been a happily married man with 2 young children, and dumped a century, then 2, later. He made himself such a nuisance that he was eventually retrawled forward another 100 years. None of that made for a well-balanced, incisive mind. Doc nodded to himself, lost in some half-world of his own, as JB threw the lever and coded in the numbers. The door, operated by its antique mechanism, began to move slowly upward.
Oh, fucking stinks!
As the door made its ponderous ascent, the stench came seeping in below it, almost like a visible tidal wave, rotten flesh and endless, nauseating decay.
No. No, Ryan. Something's out there.
Yeah, but it's gotta be long dead.
The door shuddered to a halt, about 3/4 open. Beyond it, they could see only that the passage was completely dark. The light from behind them spilled out, then was swallowed by the Stygian blackness.
Need lamps.
Nothing.
Jack looked at Ryan for orders.
You all wait here. I'll go ways up the corridor and see what I find.
Within 5 paces, the darkness absorbed him.
Let it lie, lover.
What?
Hands grabbed at him, soft flesh against his body. Almost instantly, Ryan realized something very strange. The fingers that moved over him were feeble, almost tender, with no strength or power to them. In seconds, he was recovered from the shock of the attack and began to resist.
What's happening?
In the pitch blackness, Ryan kicked against the enfolding bodies and found himself easily upon his feet again. Blunt teeth nibbled at his calf, and he punched down, feeling spongy flesh that seemed to part under his fist, smearing his skin with a clammy ichor. Something fell away from him onto the stones.
Ryan!
Christie? It's okay. Got me some of the weakest muties the world ever saw. Stay there.
Ryan could see the spillage of yellow light from the gateway control room, with 4 figures silhouetted against it. But where he stood was still inky gloom, with hands that pulled at him and tried to draw him down to the floor. He felt for the hilt of the panga at his hip and drew it. His vision had become accustomed to the blackness, and he could make out the dim figures of 4 attackers. One was already rolling on the floor, the other 3 seemed torn between the desire to flee and the desire to attack. One stood off, and the other 2 were groping at Ryan, with hopeless, pawing gestures. The muties were naked, and none was taller than 5'2". Their bodies were thin and weak. It was difficult to be sure, but there seemed to be an odd shimmering phosphorescence about them. As far as Ryan could see, they were completely hairless and had no visible genitals. The panga hissed once, lopping an arm off the nearest mutie. Blood pattered around Ryan's feet, and the creature went down like a gutshot child.
What happened?
No, stay there, and get ready to drop the doors once I come back in.
Now only one mutie remained up and interested.
I'm coming!
Ryan's boots slithered in the puddled blood.
Whoa! Oh, shit!
As he moved toward the beckoning light, the mutie suddenly hurled itself at him, fastening its puny grip around his leg, just below the knee. Ryan hardly checked his stride as he dragged the creature behind him on the concrete floor of the passage. Jack glided into the shadows, reaching for one of his concealed throwing knives. He drew the delicate leaf-bladed weapon and waited for Ryan to reach him so that he could stoop and slit the mutie's throat. The smell, unbelievably, was becoming even stronger.
Leave him, Jack. Bastard's weaker than a half-drowned kitten.
Ryan finally reached the pool of light and could actually look down at his clinging opponent. It was the first time he'd seen the face of one of the subterranean muties. The creature's open mouth was tiny and lipless and possessed a single row of stunted, filed teeth. Its nose barely broke the blubbery plane of the cheeks, and its ears were relatively large, sticking out on either side of the hairless skull like the doors of a war wag. But the creature's eyes won the prize. They were huge, boggling and bulbous, watering profusely even in the poor light that seeped into the corridor. The irises were colorless, and Ryan couldn't make out any sign of a pupil. Not that he was interested enough to peer too closely into the mutie's distorted face.
Disgusting, pathetic little thing. Don't harm it, Ryan.
Let me cut, Nick.
Jack still gripped his honed blade. Ryan reached down and plucked the mutie off his leg, heaving it out of the ring of light into the malodorous darkness. With an expression of disgust, he wiped his hands on his pants. Christy moved instinctively closer to Ryan.
This redoubt must be sealed off from ordinary light. They've evolved like that because of living in darkness. No hair, big eyes, feeble.
Heard of some out in the Big Rockies. Heard they call them Troggies. Don't know why that is.
I suspect that it might be an abbreviation for the word troglodyte, one who creeps into a hole, a dweller within caves.
Well, if there's no light, then there's not a lot of point going on. I know they're no threat in a firefight, but I wouldn't like to meet 100 or so down a dark hallway.
Christy stepped away from him, out into the corridor. She stood with her head on one side, listening intently.
Quiet.
What?
Christy looked at Ryan, her emerald eyes glittering in the half-light.
I just have a feeling, lover, that you're going to meet what you didn't want.
You mean there's...
Hundreds, lover. I can hear them shuffling this way. And I do mean hundreds.
They could all hear the sound. And soon they were able to make out movement in the black corridor.
Got the firepower to chill them all.
No, JB, no way. If Christie's right and there's 100 or more, we can just about take them all out. But it'll mean using almost every round we got between us. Can't waste bullets on muties like that.
Shit, not fucking Gateway again. No way. Let's chill him.
You want to go against me, Jack, then go ahead. You want to fight, okay. The rest of us are leaving.
Didn't...
The young boy's red eyes shot downward.
No time for talk, Jack. Let's go. Drop the sector and we're safe. Those triple poor sons of bitches couldn't open it in a year of rest days.
Ryan was last in from the corridor. He glanced out and saw that the nearest of the muties had crept within 20 yards of him. He considered firing a warning shot, then dismissed the idea.
Lower it. Press 253. Drop the green lever. Drop the fucking door!
Once the entrance was barred, they could at least rest for a few uncomfortable hours before facing another challenge.
Stuck!
Yeah, Jack. It stuck fast.
Fire blast. Cover the corridor, JB, and I'll try it.
The armorer hefted his Heckler & Koch MP7 SD8 and put it into semi-automatic. Ryan joined Jack, struggling to move the heavy green lever that operated the controls of the sector.
Sounds like the gears are stripped, Ryan.
Yeah, JB, I know. Let's keep going.
The door fell about 7 inches, then stopped again.
Fuck it. Once more.
The lever moved again, but with the doughy softness of a broken mechanism. Ryan stepped away from it.
Couple of bursts, JP. Then follow us in.
Not another jump, my dear fellow. I beg you, Ryan, to reconsider. I have the gravest doubts that I shall be able to...
Shit. Hasn't slowed him much. Figure if I had a burner grand, they'd keep him back.
Let's go, people!
Ryan led the others back through the faltering control room to the gateway.
Inside! Yeah!
Ryan pushed the chamber door open. Doc, Christy, and Jack filed in.
They're coming for real!
Come on, move it before you wreck the whole joint!
JB's slight figure, fedora perched perilously on the back of his head, darted inside the armor glass walls.
Could we not hold them off, Ryan? A third jump so devilishly close to the other.
No choice, Doc.
Ryan jumped into the chamber and started to close the door. The hinges were stiff and it moved slowly, giving the mutie in the lead just enough time to slither across the anteroom and throw its body toward the shrinking gap.
God damn it! Nothing works in this shithole!
Ryan saw the mutant coming, figuring its puny strength could do no harm. The ponderously heavy door slammed shut, triggering the jump mechanism in the defective gateway. And the mutant's arm was trapped in it.
You like that, don't you?
The arm was almost severed at the wrist, and the slightly webbed fingers fluttered and tapped on the nearest metal disc. Blood, virtually colorless, flowed along the side wall.
Clear the damn door!
Vaporous gas began to fill the room, and the metal plates in the floor and ceiling started to glow.
You can't get in.
Ryan suddenly fell to his knees.
Not the point. Blocks contacts. So micros won't properly.
Oh.
Sorrow.
Every part of his body was becoming numb and rubbery. The lights were painfully bright, and he had a sudden agonizing ache across his temples. Sensation was draining from his extremities as he reached the mutie's hand and tried to move it. But the Matrans process had already gone too far. Ryan couldn't decide if the voice came from Doc Tanner or if it was some doomsday warning from the gateway controls.
Malfunction.
Then, the nightmares really began. Jack Lauren wandered through a green-leafed forest. Shafts of summer sunlight darted between the gently swaying branches, dappling the winding path ahead of him. Every now and again, the rich balsam scent of the overlapping pines filled his nostrils. Around him stretched the high, clean meadows, speckled with Indian paintbrush, like speckles of spilled blood. Delicate bear grass, tipped with abundant white lace, nodded along the edges of the trail. Purple asters, harebells, and the tiny false Solomon seal filled his vision. Somewhere down to his right, he caught glimpses of a large lake, crystal clear, with a faint tint of turquoise that whispered meltwater. And up the slope to the boy's left was the distant thunder of a high falls, tumbling over starry quartz into a spray-fringed pool.